Anyway. Welcome to week 972 of the Crankcast. Yay.
Hi.
I finally upgraded my Skype after like 2 years.
I thought I had.
We were talking about this before, where one time when it upgraded and it messed up my audio settings or something, so I downgraded and never upgraded since.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was, I kept getting like spam messages and stuff that day. That was the same day that I was talking about getting spam messages from something else. I don't remember. But anyways, I was like, well, maybe I should go ahead and upgrade. So I did, and it seems to be all right, but it's weird because they've added stuff in that like wasn't there 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're in your friends setting, like when you're looking for your contacts or whatever, they've added this thing in that's like a Skype daily or something like that. And some other like little ad window that's in the client now. I'm like, oh, ads. Great.
Hmm.
Now I'm wondering if maybe I should just go ahead and roll back to the old one.
Can you do that?
That's what I did when it messed up before, is I just reinstalled the older client over top of it.
Hmm.
I don't know. It might be too far gone to do that now. But I mean, I guess I can get used to it. At least I've got security updates and stuff. Anyway. So, how was Detroit? Or, well, it's not really Detroit, is it? It's like by Lodi or something.
In Lodi?
Isn't it?
Novi. Lodi is in California.
Oh, Novi, yeah, sorry. I'm stuck in Novi again.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure that's the Creedence song, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I was right on the, like, hard consonants.
It was good. It was manageable, yeah, busy enough to be worth going to. All the people were friendly. It felt like, sort of felt like a normal convention again.
Cool.
So that's good.
If I recall, that's more of like a mid-sized con, right?
Yeah.
Not
small,
like a,
to mid, small to mid.
It's like bigger than a hotel type con, but it's not as big as, say, like a C2E2 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
But it still, yeah, it still has that kind of like, I don't know, less, not, I don't want to say less professional because they've been doing it forever. But that's not the word I'm looking for. Less formal vibe, I guess.
Sure.
That's not really the right description either, because that makes it sound like the other cons are all in suits.
Less
corporate-y? Is that the word I'm looking for, maybe?
I don't think of any of these as corporate-y, so.
C2E2 is pretty corporate-y.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I haven't been in a while, but yeah, it was.
Mm.
But yeah, so, had a good time, though.
Yeah, it was all right. Hung out and had dinner with Cully Hamner and Ramon Perez and a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a while. And
nice.
Yeah, it's all right. What else?
Is Marshall Dillon there?
Marshall wasn't there. I thought I would see him there, but I didn't see him.
That's weird. That's sort of his like home base con, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he lives out there again, so.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe he'll go to the, there's a one in Traverse City this weekend, so maybe that, he was waiting to go to that.
Hmm.
I wouldn't mind that either, but it, you know, two in a row is too much, and I'm in this weird situation where, you know, I didn't have a lot of work last year, but now I have some work, but it's all due at the same time, all the projects.
Right.
So I went, but now I'm behind, and then, you know, Pugfest is next week, and I got to have this Super Pets thing done before that, I guess. It's not due until after, but I'll be there, and I won't have time to work on it. So,
yeah, I guess 3 weeks in a row of cons, or 3 weekends in a row.
You know, it's
almost
fine.
Almost four, because, I mean, you went up the...
If that's your only gig, I wouldn't mind it, but... It's not, so.
I remember, like, in the heavy days of Devil's Due, doing, like, successive cons and stuff like that. Even the ones where you had, like, a week in between or something, they were still kind of, like, tiring after a while.
Yeah, it wears on you, even if you like traveling.
Yeah.
Julie didn't go with me, so I had to drive myself. And that, you know, 4 hours is about my limit.
Right.
I didn't get sleepy, though. I usually get sleepy.
Well, and you didn't, you know, turn right around and go home when you couldn't find a parking place.
So. Right? You know, it worked out okay. Therapy worked.
You're growing as a person, Mike.
I guess. Maybe.
Speaking of growing as a person, how was your birthday, man?
Oh, I forgot already.
You just mentioned it.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about it because of the convention. And then I got home and, you know, Julie tries, but she had a lot to do too. She went out of town yesterday, so it wasn't like, we went all out, you know?
Right, right. Well, plus you have never really seemed like somebody that put a lot of stress on your birthday anyway.
I'm not. I mean, before it was because I feared it. I feared the coming birthday. And now I don't know. I just don't care. You know what would make me care more is if people bought me cool ass gifts. And now Josh is the only one that buys me cool ass gifts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got me a neat t-shirt. It looks like a heavy metal shirt, but it's actually a graphic designer shirt. Cause it says wrong Lair, but Lair looks like Slayer, the slogan for the band. And it's like this devil working on a tablet. So.
Right. Oh, by the way, there's a rumor that, Mac's gonna put out a foldable tablet.
Foldable?
Yeah.
No. Have you heard that rumor, Josh?
Yeah, and it's weird because Prototype is currently running Mac OS, so they're just like giving up on iPad OS altogether.
Hmm.
Which I think would be a good idea, but.
Well, then, you know, I'm gonna have to redesign everything.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. T-shirt. Sounds cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, that my Phil Lynott action figure. So
somebody made an action figure of him?
Super 7 did.
Oh, they're the ones that, yeah, okay, I gotcha. Because they do all the, like, celebrity type musicians.
Yeah, they did the Dio one, which is sold out, so I can't get that.
Oh, they did the Demon from the one album, or well, I guess he's in multiple albums, but the Diver Down, even.
Yeah, they did that, and they've done many Eddies. And they just did a new Lemmy that looks really good.
These are, like, what, 3 3/4?
Yeah.
I was looking at them, or looking at their lineup.
So I'm going to have Phil fight all the G.I. Joes in the office.
Cool.
Because, you know, drink will flow and blood will spill.
Yeah. It's like thunder and lightning. God damn, it's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll have to stage a jailbreak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. End of the city zones.
So there you go.
Don't you dare and try and stop it, Crank.
I won't.
Well, no one could for long.
I, so you watched that, what's his name? His first name Rick? That Beato guy?
Rick Beato?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do watch Rick Beato sometimes. He gets a little, professory and stuff sometimes, so I don't watch it all the time. But he has some very interesting, videos sometimes.
Sometimes I watch him, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then sometimes I watch him, and I'm just like, dude, you're an asshole. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, sometimes, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Or like
I never watch him for educational content. Like if he has like, if he starts his video with quick lesson, don't watch any further. Why? Because he does, he's like, here, quick guitar lesson. And then he goes, and does not explain how you do it. It's like not a lesson. It's him showing off is what it is.
Oh, there was an Yngwie video. Like, he put out an instructional VHS tape.
Don't watch Rick Beato's instructional stuff.
Yeah, Yngwie's was ridiculous because he's like, so, you know, you might remember this from my album or whatever, you know how he talks. And he goes, like that. He's like, well, here, let me slow it down for you. And then he plays it at the exact same speed.
You got to understand, though, on a VHS tape back in the 80s, that was just as good as, you know, because you can slow that shit down at least and look and see what he's doing.
How, you had a VCR that let you control speed?
Well, I mean, you can rewind and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can keep watching it. But
yeah. Like, that's all you had.
But it was just ridiculous the way he said it, and then he was like, let me slow it down for you.
It's Yngwie. He's like, more is more.
It's like, I think you actually played it faster, man.
Yeah, I played it faster.
Asshole.
What's the challenge in it?
But it's an instructional.
I am a Viking, for God's sake.
It's an instructional video. Mm-hmm. Anyway, though, yeah, so I was watching Beato the other day, and it was one of those ones where I'm just like, man, why do I watch you?
Well, it wasn't one of those why the top 40 sucks or something like that.
Oh, I had to give up on those because they're just infuriating. Because he's just tearing them apart but without saying, like,
yeah,
much of anything real about it.
I do like his analysis stuff.
Where he's just going like, oh, yeah, this is nice. This, why does it keep repeating? Why does it keep repeating? And then he'll just go like that. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or I mean, like, and his headlines are always so – they're massive clickbait. They're not what he actually says in there.
That is the problem with all YouTube videos. It's not just him. But, you know, I've noticed it with every single guitar channel. It's not just, and it's just not guitar channels either. But the ones that, you know, put content out every day,
yeah,
they're the worst. And they'll start recycling their own, like, salacious headlines, too. It's like, you posted this same exact thing last week.
Like, don't do this. It sucks. And then they don't actually talk about that headline in the thing.
They don't at all. It's just a get you in here.
Yeah. It's like, and I guess
it really makes me mad. So, you know, once they – I give them one or two chances. If they do it twice, then I unsubscribe.
I would guess, by and large, probably people just assume they don't mean anything now. And so,
yeah.
So it doesn't bother people.
Well, it bothers me because I'm on there looking for stuff to watch.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, I mean, it bugs me too, but I'm saying like maybe the culture that's more YouTube attuned.
Yeah. Well, everybody's going to be – every kid growing up in America – knows about bait and switch now.
Yeah, and that's just normal to them.
I guess that makes them more prepared.
Or but makes them less trustworthy.
Everybody is ready for the con now.
Because it's just like, I don't know, whatever. I think the one I was watching. Fan.
Oh, that's weird. It just reminded me, Motor City was a hotbed for guitar talk.
Really?
I don't know if people were watching my Instagram or if it just came up in conversation, but there were a lot of guitar players talking to me about guitars. So that was kind of fun.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, there are an awful lot of crossover between being a musician and being a comic person. Anyway,
yeah.
Like, I mean, tons of comic people play stuff like. Or some of them are even in bands and record stuff, you know? Like, in fact, I just saw Charles Soules working on an album based on 8 Billion Genies. No, Curse Words.
Yeah, they've been working on that for a while.
He was in a studio or something like that. Like, but anyway, yeah, like I'm saying, I mean, it's just there's an awful lot of crossover between that.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of good guitar talk did you have?
There's this one guy who makes his own, and he was showing, he actually has messaged me. He showed me this guitar he wants to sell me. I'm like, I really do want it, but it's just like, there's other ones that I want right now.
Right. And didn't you just sell off a bunch of them?
I ended up, I did sell some. I ended up giving my Telecaster to Jim Terry.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know he played.
I didn't either. He messes around with the bass because his dad played bass and he has his dad's basses.
Oh, that's nice.
His dad was like a professional jazz musician.
I remember from his biography thing.
Yeah, so he hasn't, he still has the upright, but it's going to cost money to fix. But he has an old Telecaster bass, you know?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Which I always thought was weird because they don't really look like Telecasters.
They don't. I don't know why they're called Telecasters, but those are kind of valuable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything.
Especially I mean, it's an old one, so it's vintage.
Yeah, any of the older ones are worth some money. I mean, some decent money.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest that he get rid of it, but it's a valuable piece of equipment he has. But yeah, he expressed interest in learning to play again. I was like, I have a Telecaster right there that I was packing up to sell. You can have it. And he's like, what? And I was like, that's right. That's what it's like having me as a friend.
Yeah,
I didn't say that at all.
Yeah, you're a nice guy.
I'm not a nice guy. That's the one I said I was going to give you, so I'm not a nice guy.
Oh, man. You cheated me out of a Telecaster?
Guy, actually.
You cheated me out of a Telecaster.
I know. You probably have three Telecasters.
I have exactly one.
Really?
That's the one I made.
Really? You made a guitar? That's what I talked to this guy a long time about, because he makes a lot of guitars, and I'm like, that is like the hardest thing. I feel like I'm not good at, you know, I shorted our lights out when I tried to install a backsplash on our kitchen. I can't make a technical instrument. And he's like, oh, no, it's not that bad. It's easy. Well, he didn't say easy, but he said it, you know, it's fine. I'm like, you don't understand me.
Okay, well, I probably overstated myself when I say I made it. I put it together out of random parts of guitars.
Yeah, a kit.
Well, I mean, it wasn't
a kit. No, not a kit. Like, you Frankensteined it from other guitars?
Yeah, it's my Frankencaster.
Okay.
It's got like a fakey Gibson neck. And actually, I started working on it back in high school because it's... As part of my high school wood shop class project, I took all the paint off the body and the neck and stuff, and then I varnished them, and then, well, I stained them, and then I varnished them. So they look like an old time school desk almost, because they're all kind of scratchy and beat wood, you know. Plays real nice, though. Sounds good. But yeah, that was actually I've had that one since I was a teenager.
Interesting.
But I didn't actually put it together and finally make it work until right around the time I was leaving Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you know how stressed I get about just the setup stuff. I putting one together, forget about it.
Yeah. Well, it's,
although I'm better at the setup stuff now.
It's like putting together a model kit, I guess, or something. You know.
Yeah, I hated putting model kits together.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. That's why they make them for you.
Yeah. I remember model kits looking at them and going, why? I can go to Service Merchandise and get an action figure I can take right out of the package and play with it.
Right. It's just, you know, I mean, some people get pleasure out of the mechanical act of things.
Yeah. I get it, but it kind of makes me feel bad that I don't have that, I do and I don't. I have the curiosity, but I don't have the motivation.
I mean, how do I want to put this? You draw comics when you could just go out and buy some.
Right, but, yeah.
So, I mean, you get it. Know. You do get it. You just don't have the inclination to build a model or something, you know?
Yeah, it's just a lot of... It's all about being good at something.
Right, I guess.
And only so many times I don't know. It's like, a lot of people like do maintenance work on their cars.
Sure.
But I know that I would probably screw that up.
I don't so much anymore because I just, I don't know. I don't like it like I used to like it. So if, and instead of changing my own oil, I'll go ahead and take it to a place to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never would do my own brakes anyway because that was the one thing I was always afraid that I would screw up.
Well, that seems like a major thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I always said it was like, I don't care about screwing up something in my car that keeps me from driving it. But if I screw up something on my car that keeps me from stopping it, then I'm in trouble, you know? So, yeah, I never worked on my own brakes. Although, I mean, I've replaced gas tanks and carburetors and all kinds of other shit, but I just would never do my brakes.
There was a guy who came by that said he had listened to the podcast and it helped him out through some tough times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good to hear. I mean, I always tend to think of us as just being sort of inconsequential.
That's what I said, but he was very adamant about it. So I was like, hey, man, thank you.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm not going to tell you you're crazy, even though I just did. I did tell him he was crazy at first.
Are you nuts?
Is that your impression of me?
No.
Good.
Really. My impression of you is more like, I want some lamb.
I don't know why you do that.
It's all because of that cartoon, man. I don't really, it's not really my impression of you, it's my impression of that cartoon.
You know, speaking of which, he did the impression of me that John Suntress does on the Artie and Franco show.
I've never heard it.
He does Mr. Haney from Green Acres. That's his impression. That's John Suntress's impression of me.
All right.
Which drives me crazy. I don't know why. It doesn't make me angry, but it frustrates me because it's like, that doesn't sound, that's a completely different character. You're doing the guy from Green Acres. Who doesn't sound like me, by the way. And that's beside the point that that's just kind of insulting.
Sort of a stereotype?
Yeah.
I guess I can see that.
It's like when Dan, the drummer in my old band, he was very pointed at with his, like, needling at me about being from the South.
Well, they always insisted on calling you Memphis.
Yeah, they kept calling me Memphis, which I guess is a cool nickname, but they were doing it in a kind of like, oh, you hayseed kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
so I started calling him Yokel because he's from a smaller town than I am.
But they are extremely northern.
Yeah, they are.
Those guys were.
They were. They're practically Canadian.
Yeah, which you would think make them nicer. But
you would think. I don't know. Dan was kind of a jock. He was a jocky dude.
I remember something.
You met all those guys. You knew them.
Yeah. They were Tim's friends.
Yeah.
I remember something about pale and frail. One of them liked girls that was pale and frail.
That's funny.
And that's how they would refer to him all the time.
Oh, that sounds like Matt. The same.
I don't remember which one it was, yeah.
Matt was very talented. Not was. He's still alive.
He's just not talented anymore.
He is talented. He was a very talented singer-songwriter. I hope he's still making music, because he's very good at it.
I wonder if they are.
I don't think Dive Bar as a band is.
What was the lady singer's name? I can't remember.
I forget her name. I feel so bad I forgot her name.
Wasn't like
I hope that she's still making music, because she was very good.
Yeah, she had a good voice. It wasn't like Megan or something, was it?
It was something like that. I can't remember. Maybe Christy?
That's not like Megan at all.
I know. I feel real bad. I'd have to go back and get my CD. I think it has our names in it.
I don't even know if I ever got one of your CDs.
I found one when I was digitizing all my CDs.
Of course, there are other bands called Dive Bar, because why wouldn't there be?
There wasn't when we started it.
Oh, here's an old ad for Reggie's. I guess Dive Bar was playing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did. I wasn't with them at that point.
I went to go look it up to try to find her name.
Oh, did you find it?
I'm getting ready to see this one now.
Dive Bar on iTunes, everybody.
This is a weird description.
What?
It said, Williams traveling through time and having a beer with Joe Strummer. Then imagine that they decide to rent a Pinto and drive cross-country, and along the way they pick up Keith Richards and Robbie Robertson. Somewhere
else... That's not describing our music, is it?
Somewhere outside of Wichita, they run into Aretha Franklin. Well, yeah, I guess it is.
This is somebody that knows them, because that's way too...
It says, yeah, they're an alt-country band out of Chicago. It's weird. They were still around in 2011.
Yeah, they stuck around. I think, yeah, they did. That is an obnoxious description.
Something about Aretha Franklin. She decides to come along for the ride, too, but since it's only a four-seater, they have to strap her to the roof. None of that describes Dive Bar in the least, but it's hilarious to picture two dead guys driving a Pinto while the Queen of Soul rides on a roof like Teen Wolf.
Okay.
Also, she's wearing a halter top.
Well, he saved themselves at the last minute.
It was Kelly.
Kelly, not at all like what we thought.
Yeah. She was from Texas.
Yes, she was. She tried out for American Idol, I remember that, but didn't get in.
Somebody named Chris was in the band at the time.
That's probably the bass player.
And I know. There's Matt and Dan, and somebody
Matt and
named
Dan.
Eric?
Eric is the keyboard player. He's incredibly talented.
I remember thinking he was really good when I saw you guys play. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. He could improvise like nobody's business. Like all of his parts and stuff, he was just making it up as he went.
He looked like, he just looked like he was.
Yeah,
he made it look really easy, but he was playing like complicated stuff. Yeah.
He was definitely the most technically proficient.
So, yeah, this was Saturday, April 16th, 2011, at Reggie's. And I guess they got some sort of accordion player at the time?
Eric. Eric played. He played accordion.
Because the promo picture's got, which was it Matt or Dan that played the guitar?
Matt.
With the glasses. Okay, so Matt.
Dan was the drummer.
Okay, so it's got a picture of Matt and Eric. However you want to say his name. And he's got an accordion. Well, that's a thing.
Yep.
Long time ago already.
Yep.
I forgot how we even got onto that.
Well, we're always talking about music.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, this isn't about music, but this is about something from a long time ago. I wanted to bring it up before I forgot.
Uh-oh.
So I know in the past we've brought up the TV show Nightman here and there.
You always bring up Nightman.
I don't think it's always been me.
I think it's usually you.
Well, I am.
I cannot think of a single reason I would bring up Nightman.
Well, that brings me to my point of why I brought it up this time. Was that, as I recall, you know, you were always... At least politely put it, you were dismissive of it.
Of the show, yeah. I enjoyed the comic book.
And I recall that I probably defended it.
Mm-hmm.
The TV show, not the comic.
Because it was Canadian.
And it does have an awful lot of Canadians in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also a what's his name? Glenn Larson show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which now they've got it on Freevee, so I decided to watch it. And I haven't seen it since it aired
mm-hmm.
in 1998, and somehow it managed to make two full seasons.
Two full seasons.
Like 22 episodes apiece, man. Or was it 24?
22 PT Cruiser advertisements.
Ah, but that's the thing I totally forgot about, is it wasn't a PT Cruiser.
What was it?
It was a Plymouth Prowler. Which is an entirely cooler car.
Yeah, I guess. Why did I think it was a PT Cruiser?
Was that Plymouth?
PT too? Cruiser was like the minivan version of that.
The Prowler was like a sporty, like buggy kind of looking thing.
Okay.
And it was like a two-seater, removable convertible top kind of thing.
Is that the show that made you want to learn how to play saxophone?
No, I already had a sax at that point.
Mm.
It might have been the comic that made me want to learn how to play saxophone, though.
It wasn't Lisa Simpson?
No, not at all. But anyway, so I feel like I need to apologize because I shouldn't have defended this show.
Yeah.
It's
true.
It goes from the range of being, you know, like, I don't know. It's a terrible show. On the other hand, it's a terrible show. And
yep. Wait till Revival comes out, buddy.
But it starts out as being more or less a Batman-y kind of thing, right? But a Batman.
Yeah, because it was the 90s.
Yeah, it was like a Batman that could hear evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The TV show. And they changed a bunch of stuff from the comic. Like, he doesn't get his power from having a piece of metal wedged in his brain.
No, he has a super suit.
He gets his brain power from being struck by lightning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they don't have the event thing like they do in the Malibu comics.
Right, because he was part of that whole Malibu Ultraverse crossover thing, and he got his powers at the same time as the Strangers from that cable car incident, which also involved some sort of cosmic lightning bolt, but he, in particular, had a metal wedged in his brain.
Yeah.
Shrapnel from the thing when it blew up.
Speaking of which, one of the Strangers is named Shrapnel, and he can explode. He wasn't named Shrapnel. His name was Grenade. His power was to generate and explode shrapnel from his body.
Which, you know, it's kind of cool.
No, it's incredibly dangerous. You would kill somebody every time you did that.
That's one of the weird things about this Nightman TV show is a lot of people get dead. Like, on screen.
Yeah. The comic book was very violent because, like, the first guy he meets is like a serial killer.
Yeah, the first thing in this is people trying to sell the suit.
In the very first issue of the Nightman was actually kind of scary.
And I want to go back and read that because it's been a long time since I've read that too.
Yeah, I had it because I won a wizard art contest, and I got number ones of all the.
Ultraverse stuff?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Steve, was it Englehart that came up in Nightman?
Probably.
I'm trying to think. It was somebody like that you know from comics. Like.
Yeah. There were a lot of older guys that went over there. And then Marvel bought them.
Not Nightman. Let's try Nightman.
Okay. Marvel bought them for their coloring house, and then I don't think they even used them.
They did some sort of crossover with the Malibu characters and the Marvel characters.
Yeah, they did start using the characters for a little while and then stopped.
And then they disappeared, yeah.
Yeah, I hope everybody got their rights back, but I haven't seen them since.
Oh, shit, I forgot that. It was written by Englehart, and it was illustrated by Derek Robertson.
That I did know.
I forgot all about it being Derek Robertson on there.
Yeah.
I should have
brought that up when I talked to him.
I worked with him on a book a bunch of years ago.
I worked with him on something last year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Which one? Wait, Englehart or Robertson?
Robertson.
Okay.
He helped me out when I was looking for work.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
So, what was my point? Oh, yeah. So, talking about the TV show, though, that's like they change a bunch of stuff from the comic book. And part of it, of course, is because they don't have the rest of the Ultraverse, like Ultra Force or anything like that in it.
Yeah.
And it starts out, but the way it starts out, so he's got this, like, it's basically Batman that can hear bad thoughts, like I said.
Yeah.
And when it's like that, it's not a good show. Mm-hmm. You know? But it starts to get really weird as the season goes on. And when it gets weird, it gets better. It's still not a good show, but it gets a little more interesting.
Like, well, the comic has got a very dark side to it. It's supposed to be weird, so I'm glad they did that. I didn't stick around. I didn't watch any of it except for that.
Well,
one or two episodes.
I figure what the heck. The thing is, I swear, I remember when it aired, I liked it. But maybe
as soon as I saw him flying like Captain Marvel in those old Fawcett comics,
yeah.
Where he's just like leaning forward while standing.
Well, it's because the belt propels him.
Yeah. He's got an anti-gravity belt or
right.
something.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
But he's and they it being of the time period and it being a Glenn Larson show, I guess, this part of it is that they keep repeating things like that, like his suit up sequence.
Yep.
And it,
well, a lot of those like action packed kind of shows, they're like those old Mattel, like Brave Star and He-Man.
Yeah, and the Exo Squad right around the same time was doing it.
Yeah, where they recycled a lot of the stuff because...
And Voltron, or, whenever Voltron would form.
Even as far back as that old 60 Spider-Man cartoon, how many cycles were reused over and over again in that?
Oh, yeah. And like every time Sailor Moon would do their... any of the characters in that would do their transformations, they'd reuse them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like that, but they keep reusing these, like, besides even the suit-up sequence, they reuse a lot of the flight, him in flight sequences.
Yeah, yeah, it's stupid-looking flying sequence.
The one, for whatever reason, the one that they pick to constantly reuse is him making this terrible grimace while he's flying. And mm-hmm. it's, like, in certain scenes, it's just way out of context. like, why is he making that face every time he flies? Does it hurt? You know?
He's getting into character is what it is.
I'm Nightman. And I'm the Dayman.
The Dayman? Yeah, right. Nightman, you know, Dayman. I thought about that when that came out. I was like, you mean...
That's probably one of the times we brought this up.
Probably.
But, okay, like, example of weird. Like, in one episode, J. Edgar Hoover had a cryogenic lab where he froze Bonnie Parker, Dillinger, and Al Capone.
That is really weird. That's weirder than I was expecting.
And then in the present Nightman day, 1998, I guess, his illegitimate grandson, Hoover's illegitimate grandson, which I don't even think he ever had any kids, but they explain it in the TV show briefly. Because I don't even think Hoover liked women.
I don't know.
Anyway, though, so his crazy illegitimate mad scientist grandson brings them back to life and sets them loose on the banks and stuff for some
it's
obscure reason.
Weird. It's such a comic book.
Yeah, yeah. And then Bonnie Parker falls for Johnny Domino.
I forgot his fucking name was Johnny Domino.
Well, yeah, that's changed because his dad's last name is actually Dominus, which Johnny Dominus is still a cool name. Why would he change it to Domino?
Well, Johnny Domino sounds like a jazz musician.
Well, and that's my other point. Not one time during this entire 20-something episodes I've seen of this first season have they played anything that sounds actually like jazz to me in the club.
It sounds like new age jazz.
No, a lot of it's just like rock. It's like light rock with sax.
Mm.
And they play a lot of swing.
To me, it sounded like that new age fusion-y bullshit that my stepdad would listen to.
Well, I mean, maybe it is considered jazz and it just doesn't sound like jazz to me. But, yeah, I swear, like, none of the things I've heard in this were jazz. Oh, another weird episode, guest starred Jerry Springer.
Jerry was in a lot of shit.
And then they find this buried... where are they supposed to be? They're supposed to be in San Francisco, I think, right?
I think so, yeah.
So they back in 1906, San Francisco suffered a big earthquake and it buried a bunch of the city, but you could still get to parts of the city that were buried, like certain streets and stuff.
Yeah.
So they find this Chinatownish street under the club where Domino plays and lives.
Yeah.
And it has like a ghost warrior dude from 1906, a Chinese warrior guy who's protecting some treasure.
Yeah.
And it's got Jerry Springer in it.
Is he the Chinese warrior?
No. He's trying to do a Geraldo-y kind of thing and tape this so they can get syndication and points or something.
Mm.
They talk in some gibberish.
He didn't know that he was already on a syndicated show.
I guess. Never know. Let's see. What was the other thing? Was another weird one.
The Runaways, their hideout is a hotel that was buried in the San Francisco earthquake.
Apparently, I haven't actually checked into it, so I don't know if this is true or not, but according to the Dresden Files books, there's
L.A. earthquake is what I meant. Sorry.
There's parts of a city still under Chicago. Like, because Chicago was built on a swamp, so it sinks.
That's every fucking city has that. Seattle has that.
I don't think Cincinnati has an underground. We had an unfinished subway tunnel that that's pretty extensive. Some of the buildings had pretty extensive sub-basements here.
Seattle has that, and because it was in Malignant, the tour that you go on. And I went on the same thing in Edinburgh, and it's fucking creepy.
I bet.
Because like it's like where the peasants used to live, and it's just these alleys, and they show you, well, this is where they used to throw all the urine out. Like, this is a nightmare. People living like rats.
I mean, yeah, there are just other weird points. I was watching the episode I was watching yesterday or last night or somewhere, maybe the day before, but it involved an alien that came to Earth and could jump bodies.
Wow.
There was another one that was some sort of weird lab-created... No, it was a monster from another dimension that the military had opened up a portal to another dimension and let... For 13 years earlier or something like that, let the male through. And they killed the male, and then... But so they shut down the program, and then somebody decides to reactivate the program, and the mate of the male comes through and starts killing people.
Oh.
And it's this weirdo-looking giant monster-y thing from another dimension.
It's not like a Natasha Henstridge sort of thing.
No, it's not nearly as sexy.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, my point, though, is that this is not really a good show. But when it gets weird, it at least gets sort of interesting.
Yeah.
And it does, it gets weird often enough that I'm like, well, maybe that's what I liked about it the first
time. Yeah. I'm wondering, too, because it's not like you to admit that one of these shows is awful.
Oh, it starts off, yeah, the first couple of episodes are not good. Like, I'm just like, oh man, I don't even know if I want to keep watching this. But me being me, I did keep watching it, and you know.
Yeah. I'm drawing. Oh, my shoulder's hurting, and I'm drawing this splash page of nothing but like this, you know, warehouse full of animal cages.
Oh, that seems dull.
Thanks, Tony.
It's just like a lot of lines.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just drawing the cages right now. I haven't even got to the animals inside them.
I've
got to have it all done by end of next week.
I had one of those weeks this week where stuff was running late, so I got dropped on me late. And then, but we still had like, because, you know, publishing, you have to hit your end deadline or you have to, it's returnable or whatever. Orders can get canceled. So I get stuck with the same deadline, even though I don't have as much time to work on it as I normally would.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of tiring, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's one of those things, when I say tired in that context, I mean, it's more like exhausting, although there is some physical, like, joint ache from having my arm in a certain position. Mostly it's mental exhaustion, I think.
You give me mental exhaustion.
I can believe that. I'm a very awkward person.
You're something.
I am something. That's what my mom tells me. She says, you're something else.
You're something.
And I'm like, I know it.
I know I'm something. I know I'm something, mama.
I was a great mistake.
Oh, gross. I don't like...
Sorry, that's a reference to an Eels song.
Mm-hmm.
What else is new?
I don't know. I can't come up with everything for you.
What are you talking about? I've come up with most of the content.
No.
I've been...
There's no... We don't have content on this.
I've been the content creator.
No, stop it. Gross.
We are content. We are the product, Mike.
Gross.
You realize that?
Gross.
Probably is.
I don't know.
That Beetlejuice trailer looked fun.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, you should.
I don't watch trailers anymore.
Michael Keaton didn't... I thought Michael Keaton would not look good this far gone. As
he's not dead.
He's still like, what is it, 40 years past that original movie? That's big. That's pretty far gone, man.
Oh, guy in makeup still looks like the dude in makeup.
I mean, he looks fatter than he did in the original, but, you know, that's all right.
That's weird to me, because he hasn't gotten fatter.
He looks fatter as Beetlejuice now than he did then, though.
That's strange.
Jollier and stuff.
He's still, like, he's a skinny guy.
I'm not dissing him, I'm just saying he looked a lot better than I thought.
Okay.
Thought he would, or than I had any reason to expect. You know. And yeah, it looks fun though. I quite enjoyed it.
Good.
I mean, I won't actually go see it until it comes to streaming sometime. But
well, everybody knows that.
So it's like I'm not that excited about it. But
yeah. Well, everybody knows you.
Yeah. Well, you know. Still on my binge watching of all these Hallmark style love
movies. What? God damn.
Four weeks now I've been on it, man.
Come up here and watch them with Julie because she watches those.
After a certain, I mean, you might wonder why I keep watching them because they're all the same movie over and over, you know? With minor tweaks on the plot.
I don't know if I wonder why as much as I don't care.
Well, fair enough. You don't care.
I mean, I don't care about that. I care about you. I don't care about your Hallmark movies.
And that's
because I've seen enough of them myself. I pulled shoot on those a long time ago.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't think in this latest binge, I don't think any one of these movies was an actual Hallmark movie. They were all just Hallmark style, you know? Which I don't even know if that's a thing. I call it Hallmark style because
Hallmark style, yeah. I absolutely believe that's a thing, yes. Probably don't want you to say that, but yes.
Because, yeah, I was watching the Hallmark stuff when I realized that they all had the same pattern to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just call anything that's like that a Hallmark style movie. You know?
There's a lot of those on Netflix now, and they all feel like they're written by an algorithm.
Might as well be. They're all going by the same formula.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they really do have, like they all seem to have, like, a requisite thing they need to have in each movie.
I can tell you the formula. Like, I know it by heart now. And that's, you got the main character set up. Right, which gives you the reason that they shouldn't, or that the reason that they will fall in love, I guess, is what I'll say. Whether it's because they're a stressed out business person, or they don't want to be in a relationship, or
it's
whatever.
It's always stressed out business person.
Well, not always. Sometimes it's they don't want to be in a relationship, or they.
But they're a stressed out business person.
I guess, yeah, because you're not going to make a romance movie about a homeless person, are you? Well, they have. You're not going to make a Hallmark style.
You knew of an example right off the top of your head.
Well, no, I'm just saying you're not going to see a Hallmark. Well, actually, yeah, you might see a Hallmark style movie with a homeless person. Huh. Okay. So anyway, the character set up, then you get the meet, which isn't always cute, but it is a meet. Then you get the friction. They don't like each other for some reason. Or they can't be together for some reason or
did
whatever.
Did you see the meet cute joke we did in Mystery Science Theater?
I don't remember.
It was a brand of steak seasoning called Meat Cute.
Oh. That's nice.
And they were named after, like, when Harry met Sally and... Well, when Harry met Salisbury.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, there's the friction. Then there's the grudgingly falling in love. Like, they don't want to admit it, but they probably are falling for each other. Then there's the misunderstanding that breaks them up. Mm-hmm. Then there's the clear up of the misunderstanding, and then the end. They kiss and it's over. Now, another thing to consider about this style of movie in particular is that you never see anything sexier than kissing or a sexy dance, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, you know, getting in the sack on the first date. I don't even think there is a sack unless it's the one that's in the race.
Oh, right, if there's a family event.
Right, because sometimes they do get into those, like, neighborhood, like, whatever they are, festivals or whatever.
Yep.
Those show up a lot, actually, neighborhood festivals. The other thing is that the stakes are always super low. There's never going to be, like, a life and death thing going on. Somebody might lose their career, which, you know, there's another career waiting for them if they do.
Yeah, it's not, they're not going to lose anything.
Yeah, so the stakes are always pretty low. There's never really a super bad guy in them.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people who are, like, pretty shitty either come around in the end or they get what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never, like, they don't get carted off to jail or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like super mellow. The other defining feature, I think, is that no matter what race the lead characters are, they might as well be white.
Because
you could substitute, even when they have like a full black lead cast in the ones I've watched, if you substituted them out for white people, it's the same show.
Yeah.
There's like nothing, they don't play to any race particular except for white.
Well,
race,
I mean, that's kind of what you want.
White bread stuff, very middle of the road kind of stuff, you know?
Oh, you're just saying everybody acts stereotypical white.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are occasions when it's, when it is a thing, like with, I've seen a few with gay characters where actually half the time, if there is a gay guy in it, he's like the gay BFF, the stereotypical gay BFF.
Yeah.
Very like bitchy and like, fashion conscious, stuff like that. If there's a lesbian, I don't know. I've actually seen a spread on lesbians. Like some of them are butch, some of them are not butch. Some of them are actually like they show them on screen in relationships with lesbians. They seem to be actually treated a little bit better than the gay guys.
Oh, weird.
In this circumstance. I
don't know where that is.
I don't know. They don't, but they don't seem as stereotypically like what you would think of as butch lesbian mean person thing, you know? Or they don't really like swing either way, because there's like lipstick lesbian too, which are like the whole super librarian-y sexy lesbians. But they, I mean, it's not that they don't show butch or lipstick, but they don't really stereotype them in these things. At least not in my experience. I haven't watched everything, you know? But yeah, so pretty much like, yeah, that's how I define the Hallmark style. And it, all these other companies that are making them, which a majority of the ones I've been watching recently seem to be Canadian. I don't know why. Maybe I know they make a lot of stuff in Canada because it's cheap.
That's where they're making the revival show.
Yep. Canada and Atlanta, you know?
Yeah, Atlanta's a big place now.
Which, the other half of the ones that I've seen that weren't made in Canada were made in Atlanta, so.
You know, they were doing it in New Orleans, but it seems like that's kind of stopped.
Huh. I wonder if the tax credit's gone away or if they just don't like the environment down there, like weather-wise and stuff like that.
I don't know.
If it's gotten too unpredictable for filming.
It is unpredictable, I would assume.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, at the same time that these are the same, they still fascinate me.
You fascinate me.
Plus, you get to see a lot of actors, well, at least in my case, especially with the Canadian ones, because I see them in a lot of other TV shows I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to see a lot of actors you're somewhat familiar with, but they've never done, like, a lead role before. Because they're basically supporting actors all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of interesting to see them put in a lead role, like, and to watch them have to act that out. And of course, it's not a very good lead role. They're not playing, like, Shakespeare or something, you know. Which I don't even know if that's actually a good lead role, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like I'm watching Remington Steele.
You do like Remington Steele, though.
It's when I grew up, you know. It's my first Pierce Brosnan.
You always remember your first Pierce Brosnan.
Of course you do. I mean, do you remember your first Mary Tyler Moore, right?
No.
Sure you do. It was probably in the Mary Tyler Moore show. You're not old enough to have seen her first in the Dick Van Dyke show. Which she was prettier in the Dick Van Dyke show.
Okay. Okay.
Who am I kidding? She was pretty all the time.
That scene?
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I got anything else. I'm working on a weird book with a homicidal lamb.
Homicidal lamb?
Yeah.
There's a cult of the lamb?
It is.
Hmm.
It's a homicidal god lamb.
Is that a Dark Horse thing?
No, Oni.
Oni is doing that book?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I haven't gotten any work from Dark Horse in a long time. I don't even know who's like still there to ask. Like that I would have worked with before.
Daniel's still there. You worked with him, haven't you?
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Who was it? Was he the one that worked on Rock Gods?
No, that was Brett.
Brett?
Yeah.
Wonder if I could hit him up.
Brett asked if I was going to C2E2, but San Diego this year. And I was like, if you're flying me out.
I'd be glad to if you pay for it.
Yeah.
The Eisner's nominees were just released.
Man, if you had been nominated, it would have been great. I was like, I can agree with these.
I mean, it was a good crop of people in the lettering nominations this year.
Well, I was more excited.
I was glad to see Russ there.
Jenny finally got nominated.
She's been nominated before. For
she has?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the past.
I
don't know if she's ever won, but I can't remember.
She hasn't won. I know that.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure I've seen her nominated before. Hmm. Best cover artist or something. Like. Yeah, I mean, people we know are in there, which is always neat, I guess. You know, like Jenny, Tim, Chris Somney's in there again. I mean, I don't know him, but I've worked with him. A book. I have nothing to do with it being nominated, but a book I lettered was nominated. It was a translated foreign book.
Translated foreign book.
Yeah, it was that one I think I told you about a long time ago when I did it. It was about a lady who gets cancer, a brain tumor, at like in her 30s. It was an autobiography thing, autobiographical thing. And it talks about how she had to deal with this brain tumor thing. And it was kind of sad. I mean, she didn't die or anything because she went on to make the autobiography. But, yeah. Anyway, though, I got nominated for, like, Best Translated Material or something like that. One of those categories where Best Reprint of Foreign Material, Best Translation, something like that.
Where is she from?
I don't remember. It was, I want to say it wasn't like Sweden, but it was like one of the countries in that area that I'm really unfamiliar with, so I get them all mixed up.
Nordic?
The Nordic area. Nordic track.
Mm-hmm. The Nordic track.
Yeah. I want to say it was from one of those. Or, well, hell, it could have been Belgium, for all I know. Which isn't part of that at all.
It's across the water.
Yeah.
It's not as far as you think.
I don't think anything there is as far as I would think from the other things.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, that whole of, like, Caucasian Europe isn't even as big as the United States, is it?
No, it's not.
So it's like everything's pretty close. It's just, like, a handful of states, you know?
Yeah.
like, you can get from one end of it to the other in, like, 6 hours or something?
I mean, it's probably, if you go the furthest point to the furthest point, it's probably longer than that. But it's not, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
You're not going to spend a week traveling.
Right. But yeah, I'm trying to remember what the heck the name of that book was. Memento Mori was the name of the book.
Hmm.
But again, me lettering it, I don't think had like any impact on it being nominated. It was the book itself. Like, and I was trying to letter it as close to the style of the original lettering as I could anyway. So it's just sort of, I was trying to stay transparent, I guess you'd say. You know?
So yep.
I wouldn't really have anything to do with it, but it was cool. It was the only thing I think I saw that was nominated.
Really?
I think so. I don't know why. I don't know why. Like Rick and Morty never makes humor publication. Because it's not always like it's not always on, but it's funny a good enough chunk of the year that you would think it would get nominated for humor publication.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's because it's a. I don't know. I don't know why. I'm not going to speculate because I don't. Didn't look at who the judges were even this year.
I think Jill Thompson's won.
Was she won?
Well, I keep forgetting it. The nomination committee and the judges are two different things.
Oh, that's why. I guess I meant the nomination committee. It wouldn't make sense to have them also as the judges, would it? Because they would just...
Yeah, right.
They would vote for what they nominated, right? Wait, the Eisner's doesn't have judges. It's peer-reviewed, right? Yeah,
right.
It's peer-reviewed.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, I'm just mislabeling the nomination committee as judges. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they are judges of a sort because they had to judge who got nominated.
Yeah.
But I don't know who submits. Is it the committee that submits the stuff?
You can submit.
Like, because I don't remember a thing like a submissions process.
There, it's on the website.
Really?
Yeah. Usually it's the company that does it.
I thought it was the other one. Oh, yeah, okay. Company does it. That makes sense. But, yeah, so anyway, it was cool to see familiar names and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of people who I may or may not know.
Stop it.
Gesundheit?
He doesn't care. He just wants to see the world burn.
Watch the world burn.
He wants to see George Burns.
It's sad because he's dead now. Is he trying to resurrect George Burns?
Yeah.
Now that's something I'd see.
Josh and his necromancy all the time.
Burnsomancy. It's very specific. He only wants to resurrect George Burns.
Aw, it's kind of rude because, you know, what is George without Gracie? You're just going to make him, he's going to be an evil zombie.
That smokes a lot.
Well.
Still sucking down them cigars like crazy.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
No.
Okay.
He's been dead for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And wasn't Gracie dead a long time before that?
Yeah, Gracie died long before him.
Like, was she alive when I was alive at all?
I don't know.
Because George and Gracie,
I've only known of George Burns without Gracie.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking 30s or 40s for that stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it was while TV was on, so it was definitely later than 30s, I guess.
My mom had to explain the Say Goodnight Gracie to me, because I'd never seen that before.
Say goodnight, Gracie. Yeah. Good night, Gracie. Speaking of old things that would need to get explained, there's a character in something I was lettering recently that the script described it as a duck that looks like Cary Grant, and he keeps saying Judy, Judy, Judy. And I'm like, who the hell is even going to get that? I kind of got it.
Who wrote that?
I'm not going to say.
I don't know. Classic movies are still...
Well, and I guess people watch Cary Grant still.
Yeah, it's still the same people that, yeah, there's always going to be a crowd.
But the thing is that Cary Grant never actually said Judy, Judy, Judy.
I like that you did the voice.
Well, it's because he does the voice. He had a very distinctive voice. But he never actually says that in that pattern in any of his work.
Hmm. Do you think that you're smarter than me because you're telling me that?
No, I think I'm smarter than you because I know that the correct phrase is, you can't eat your cake and have it too, not have your cake and eat it too.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you.
Mikey, Mikey, Mikey.
No! That annoys you?
What?
How do you know that?
It's
You around when that phrase was created?
It's one of those stupid factoids that get stuck in your head.
Hmm.
But yes, I actually did coin the phrase.
Hmm. So, when was that?
Shortly before Marie lost her head.
Oh, so you... Wow, that was quick thinking on your part.
Well, you know. But anyway, even if you say it out loud, though, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. That doesn't make any sense. Of course you can have your cake and eat it too. But you can't eat your cake and then have it too.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
You sound like every annoying English professor I had in college.
It's not a hill I'm going to die on or anything, but I know I'm right. Sort of like I know I'm right that 28 Days Later is not a zombie movie.
Well, no, but it runs by the same rules. It's in the category because of the dynamic of it.
But there,
it's not because it's technically a zombie movie.
That's like calling Maniacs a zombie movie.
Was it Maniacs?
Is that Maniacs?
What are you talking about?
The oh, it was made in the 70s and then they remade it again in the 2000s.
Maniac?
Is that the one where the people get the disease and they go crazy?
The Crazies.
Is it The Crazies? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yes. That would be in a zombie movie category, yes. But, I agree.
But none of those folks...
It is not a zombie movie,
right.
No.
None of those folks are actually zombies.
Technically not a zombie movie, but it is a zombie movie because it operates by zombie movie rules.
Or, yeah. I mean, I guess it's like any Mad Cow disease-y movie kind of thing or whatever. Like,
sure. There's been plenty of them.
Yeah. So, anyway... That's, you know, I don't know. There was no real point I was trying to make, I think. I just thought it was funny about the Cary Grant thing, because I'm like, what person reading a comic book in 2024 is going to get that?
No, but, I mean, think about the Bugs Bunny cartoon where he goes into the nightclub and all of those, like, actors from the 30s are there?
Sure, yeah.
And you're like, hey, you know that they're real people because they look too weird not to be, but it's like, I had no idea who those people were.
Right. I mean, I think I probably knew like Bogart or like things where I'd
some
seen.
Some of them you'd seen because, you know, reruns were still a thing.
Yeah, reruns of the movie on like Sundays on Sunday, like local television.
Yeah, reruns aren't really a thing anymore. Well, I take that back. They are, but they're like whole channels on internet somewhere.
Right, classic
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, and you have to go looking for it. It's not shoved in your face while you're sitting at your babysitter and that's the only thing that's on TV.
And I figured, I mean, Bugs Bunny back then, a lot of the times Bugs Bunny stuff like ran on in between movies and stuff, so they were making that for adults as well as kids.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like the Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah.
So that was somewhat highbrow, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. But then again, we are in an age where everything's preserved and probably Cary Grant is still fairly popular, so.
There's a guy that came up to me who was talking about, well, he was talking about a lot of stuff, but he was talking about how he and his, he had a discussion with his mother about how he thinks Tyrone Power should be Superman, and his mother thought it would be Cary Grant, and I was like, you are definitely younger than me. What? I was just really like, I was like checked out while he was talking to me because I was imagining the strange home life he must have.
Why are they talking about this like it's present tense?
Well, it sounded like they were fantasy casting like a Superman movie. And I was like, what a interesting Friday night that must be.
Yeah. I was over there like Parcheesi board.
Yeah.
Or something. Do people still play Parcheesi? Well, board games are still popular, right?
Board games are more popular than ever. Well, I'm not going to say that because that's probably not true. But it is. They are definitely extremely popular among a niche audience.
Okay. Like sort of along that same thing, like where you recognizing stuff is like, I just read for the first time, Truman Capote's Breakfast at Tiffany's, not, you know, the book or novella, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is interesting because there's a lot of differences between that and the movie.
Yeah. No Mickey Rooney character.
No, that character's in there, but they don't play it up like for laughs like that necessarily. Plus actually, Holly Golightly in the book is supposed to be blonde.
Like, oh, interesting.
It's like super blonde. And in fact, Truman Capote wanted Marilyn Monroe to play her in a movie.
Interesting.
There's some other. There's not a happy ending in the book.
Never is.
But anyway, the point is like I've never read any Truman Capote before, and so to this date, this is the only Truman Capote I read, and the only thing I ever really knew about Truman Capote was that he was eccentric.
Yep.
He was gay.
Yep.
And he was in the movie Murder by Death. Like,
he was also very small.
Yeah, well, I knew that from Murder by Death. Yeah,
I think he was on. Was he not like on some sitcoms too? Like some TV stuff?
Probably.
I feel.
But like, I feel like I
saw him in like something that you would never guess he would be on.
But like, those were my go-tos. Like, Murder by Death was how I identified Truman Capote. I never really put him together with books or anything,
Yeah.
Because I'd never read them.
Like, I know of Truman Capote because of Rich Little.
Oh, he used to do that impression.
Yeah, he did a Truman Capote impression, and I was like, well, who the fuck is Truman Capote?
Right. Oh, I also,
no, that may be why I know who a lot of people are, is because Rich Little did impressions of them.
So he exposed you to a wider world.
Yeah, sure.
I also knew that Truman Capote was very, very good friends with Harper Lee.
Yeah, there's a movie about that.
But like, yeah, so anyway, it was interesting reading the book, though. It was, I mean, it's a well-written book, but her character infuriates the hell out of me. I don't really find her particularly, like, sympathetic or anything at all.
Yeah, it's interesting when you see, like a iconic hero of literature and you don't like them.
Right.
You're like, what do people get out of this?
I mean, even reading the book and still having Audrey Hepburn in my brain,
yeah,
like associating with the character. And that's the only thing that makes the movie acceptable to me, really, is her, and I guess George Peppard, too, but her, mostly.
Yeah.
Although Buddy Epson really does a genius role in that. Like, or
you
genius
just got a, you got a small, you got, like, a soft spot for Buddy Epson.
I like Buddy Epson, sure. I mean,
there's not, what's not to like about Buddy Epson?
I mean, for all I know, he's got some sort of thing that I shouldn't be liking him for, like a lot of people have now that I didn't know about.
Yeah, but don't even look for that stuff, because you will find it.
Somewhere in his politics or life, home life or something. I don't know. And I don't want to look because I don't want to dislike Buddy Epson. But,
I don't care. He was Davy Crockett's sidekick. God damn it.
And, you know, I like Mickey Rooney by and large, but I don't like that role in that movie.
You don't? What is it about that role you don't like?
I mean,
I don't understand. He's so, that is one of the enduring portrayals
of a Chinaman?
Yeah, well, that's what he would call it, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't even say Chinaman anymore, do they?
No.
Like,
no.
And I guess he was supposed to be Chinese, right? Not Japanese.
Well, he was absolutely Japanese. Supposed to be Asian, yeah.
Well, Asian, yeah, but I don't know.
I don't
Chinese
know where, what his country of origin was, but I'm pretty sure Mickey Rooney didn't either.
I'm picturing, like, those buck teeth and...
Yeah, like, he looked like, you know, well, speaking of Bugs Bunny,
he
looked like something out of that.
Yeah, like a Looney Tunes version of a Chinese person, like a Mandarin Chinese person or something.
Yeah, when they did those, like, buy war bonds kind of thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Man, that's terrible.
Yeah. Like,
anyway, so, you know, I mean, it's hard for somebody like Audrey Hepburn, it's hard not to be sympathetic with her character, even if you don't agree with her character.
Yeah.
Because she was just... there was something about her besides just she was darling looking, but, you know, the way she held herself, I guess, and expressed herself made her a lot more sympathetic than, say, I think... Although, I don't know. Marilyn Monroe did a really good sympathetic character in... what was that one with the horses? Where they're killing the horses.
I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember the name of it. But
Horse Killing USA?
Something like that.
That's my favorite Marilyn Monroe movie, Horse Killing USA.
That wasn't Misfits, maybe. Maybe Misfits.
Mm.
But, like, yeah, she actually did a really good sympathetic girl in that. But anyway, I don't know. So it was just interesting reading the book was all I'm, you know, I guess, my main point. And my wander around it in circles and figure eights way. So, I don't know, man. I think I'm tapped.
Okay. I'm tapped too, then.
And I just got an email with a bunch of revisions.
Yeah. I'm so tired of those.
Part of the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Well, you said Pugfest is this weekend?
No, it is next weekend, I believe.
Okay. In that case, everybody have a good weekend, and, you know, we'll try to catch you next week.
I love you all.
Well said.
So well I just said. Die. I just die.
Oh. And that's the last scene. Mm. All right. Well, take care. Goodbye.